All right, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our show, Artist Blueprint Live, coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee. George Batista is in upstate New York, and we are going to be discussing a subject that George and I, we just talked about right before we went on the air. But if we knew some of the things that we know today, our lives would be different today, although our lives are pretty great now, but still, it would have been different. And then we're going to talk about the rebirth of music marketing and how it's actually sort of making a full circle. And I think it's a very interesting conversation because we, especially with our experiences, because we're coming from a place where we had the old school viewpoint of music. And here we are still in the music world and still listening to music and playing music and all that. But now there's a new way of marketing. And I think that that's an interesting dichotomy that we can actually kind of, you know, investigate and have a conversation on. So this is going to be our conversation this evening. We are glad you're here. And we are live on a bunch of other places. Let me see. I know Facebook had a little bit of a debacle today. Yeah, they had a little bit of a debacle. They had some situations, but we'll see what debacle.
debacle. That's today's word, everyone. Debacle.
Debacle. But yes, so before we get started, as always, we have this wonderful sponsor that's been with us now for years, and we're grateful for them. So I'm going to turn it over to George, where he's going to tell us all about our wonderful sponsor.
Thank you, Jenny. Well, today's show, The Artist Blueprint, is brought to you by Wellness Resources, a family-owned and operated nutritional supplement company providing the highest quality, clinically formulated supplements since 1985. Make sure you check them out because, let me tell you, they have some fantastic supplements. I use them every single day. I've been using them for now, I think it's like 17 years now. And I feel good every time I use them. So they're at myvitaminresource.com. So if you enter the promo code ARTISTBLUEPRINT at checkout, because you are our viewers and listeners, you will have free shipping on your order. And on top of that, John, did you know that this month is National Nutrition Month?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, it is. It's National Nutrition Month. This is where we're supposed to really be focusing on getting enough nutrition. So Wellness Resources, of course, in kind, they put out a great promo, which is 25% off their daily nutrition supplements, like their daily energy multivitamin and daily protector and all their daily bone excels and all these types of things. Fantastic supplements you should be taking every day to get that nutrition in. So again, it is Wellness Resources, National Nutrition Month, and it's myvitaminresource.com.
Cool. And yes, we have the 25%. I don't know. Did you mention that?
Yes, I did. 25% off. Oh, yes. 25% off their supplements, which is perfect for this month.
Yeah.
Because, again, you know, it's all about nutrition.
Yeah, I didn't actually know that. I know that we just talked about our little nutritional history on our bodies and kind of like just – I think it's important to kind of know your body and to, you know, because I think that that's a major thing that people kind of like don't really know when they're not doing well, because they just think that, well, I'm just tired because of whatever, or they just don't pay attention. So they walk around with these, you know, with basically in an unhealthy space.
It's interesting. I heard somebody say, and it's so true, they said, you treat your car better than you treat your own body.
That's true.
That's right.
That's like true, wild, man. It's kind of crazy. I mean, I think that, and it's not even like that people are unaware of their, you know, but when you think about it, we're so aware of things like our phone, the apps, the messaging, the what kind of phone we have, the better phone we have, this kind of phone, the car, the, you know, all the things and stuff that are the TV shows that we're watching. You know, I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget that I have to watch this show. I got to watch the show. I don't want to forget. And yet, people say, I just don't have time. That's what people say the most. You know, I'm too lazy to get healthy. Right. You know, too lazy to get healthy. And that's where it gets a little bit bizarre. You know, a little bit bizarre.
Agreed. So, yeah. But, so make sure we get our nutrition in. That's the lesson for
and
today.
And it's National Health Month. So... it's the national month for the health of peoples.
There's always a national something.
It is. Because isn't it National Women's Month also?
Yeah, but there's Heart Month, there's Women's Month.
I think this is Women's Month. So maybe it's National.
Actually, yeah, I think it is. Yeah, health. Yeah, it's Nutrition Month, Women's Month. There's Guy Wearing Hat Month.
It's a big month for me.
Yes. I know you love parade. That month. That's your favorite.
Every year I go to the parade. I'm in one of the float, the cat in the hat float. So we're going to talk today about something that we experienced. Like I said earlier, you know, at the start of the show, we experienced this starting in the 90s.
Yes.
You know, with marketing and how we market. And, you know, to be honest, we had no idea what we were doing. Go ahead.
Before we go into that, I just want to do a quick shout out.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Because George, if I don't something. Stop you, forget me. It'll be like 8:59 and it'll be like, all right. So anyway, I don't know what that means. Exactly. So I just want to give a quick shout out before I went to an amazing club 2 weeks ago. All right, called The Falcon. And it's up in upstate New York. It's actually in Marlborough, New York. And what an amazing club. So it was started by a gentleman named Tony Falco, who is no longer with us. But his whole goal in starting the club and buying the space and doing that was to help artists. He loved music. He loved artists. And the club now is run by his family. And the whole goal of it was to let artists perform and then let them, you know, make a living while performing. That was his goal. So it's a beautiful place. And we went to see the Alexis P. Souter Band, which is a fantastic band. But the cool thing about this club is that it's geared towards the artist, and there's no cover charge. So literally you go in and it's all donation based. So any donation that you give goes straight to all the musicians, goes to the artists. And he made it purposely that way. And that was his wish, because, again, he wanted to help artists to be able to make a living and that type of thing. And that was kind of his giving back to artists. So a lot of great musicians and jazz players and blues players play there regularly, like Joe Louis Walker, you know, electric blues guy, Larry Coryell, Steve Smith, who's been on this show a few times with a great band called Vital Information, is going to be playing there in April. I'm going to go see him. So it's on April 7th. I'm going to go check him out there, and hopefully I can do take some pictures, maybe even take some video, and we'll talk about it here on the show. So anyway, Marlborough, New York, a great club called The Falcon. It's at liveatthefalcon.com. So if anybody's in the area, anybody's, you know, or even near the area, even if you have to drive a little bit, I drive an hour to get there, but honestly, it's totally worth it. Food is good too, by the way. And great place to be, great place to play, great atmosphere for artists. So The Falcon, thank you guys, everyone who was there. Just fantastic place to be.
That's awesome, man. I love to hear that too. And it's really inspiring, because I think it does tie into like one of my missions as well. You know, coming here to Nashville and starting JHS Talent Management and wanting to work with venues. And we have an event coming up on May 3rd at a club called Why Not Saloon, which is a really, really cool place. And the owner there, his name is Barry Smith. Really nice, him and his wife, totally awesome. And they're same kind of thing. They want to have a space where they bring artists,
right,
and artists can actually thrive and build an audience and practice their craft. And they want new artists with original music. And yeah, I think that's also a wonderful thing as well. So Yeah, so live at thefalcon.com. Check it out. Thanks, guys, over there. And from Nashville, I'll make my way up someday for sure.
Cool.
And check out that that nice venue. So cool. Very, very cool. All right. So we're going to, on that same theme of music, we're going to be discussing today music marketing. And, you know, one thing I put here was a lot of the different types of marketing that's out there. You know, there's SEOs, which is search engine optimization. There's content, of course, and there's links, there's email, there's your website. There's just so many different ways of marketing. But I think one of the challenges that we have is that, and this is, I don't know what your thoughts are on this, is that there's so much that's available to everyone now, you know, that we forget that the thing that really always gets everyone interested in music or in a thing is the thing.
Right.
Right. It's right. Don, who's in the band that I'm playing with right now, Don Panzik. He talks about a thing called the Purple Cow, right? Which is kind of a popular thing. It's written in a book, and I can't remember the name of Seth Gordon.
Oh, Seth I know what you're talking about. Seth Godin, I think it is.
Godin. So he mentioned in one of his books where he talks about the purple cow, right? And the purple cow is that thing that's completely unique to that thing that makes people interested. You know, Prince, you know, and he is purple.
He's purple.
But he is literally a purple cow.
Right.
Michael Jackson before Michael Jackson, no one wore the one glove, true, the pants up with the hat. Yeah. Nobody did the moves he did.
Right.
Nobody was doing that. That's a purple cow, right? And there's a lot of artists that have that ability to kind of take that one thing, and then, you know, and what's happening with all the social media is that a lot of, this is just my assessment, just from having seen what's out there now, is that they're all kind of trying to imitate what the other one is doing, because there have been some successes, like Adele, for instance, right? She's Adele, right? She's got an amazing voice. She's beautiful. The songs are great. She writes all this stuff. You know, I mean, she is definitely a purple cow, right? Like, she does have that skill set, you know, where she stands out. So then a lot of people want to go towards that. They want to go towards being like her, you know? And you can't do that, because then you'll have a series of many people that are just kind of like looking like that, you know? And so one of the things that I was looking at was like, okay, well, what are the things that we can utilize to try to achieve a purple cow status on something that's completely different, right? Like, what's different? I mean, we all, every note that I've ever played has been played a billion times over, right?
Right.
Every chord that we've hit has been hit. Every variation have been somewhat touched upon. Maybe not everyone, but pretty much a lot of them, right? But yet, there's still great music out there, right? There's still great songs out there. There's still great artists out there that are making some great music and you know, changing, or at least keeping good music alive, right? So anyway, I don't know what your thoughts are on.
Well, first of all, I would never want to go to Adele and call her a purple cow. That's number one. I just want to throw that out there. I don't know if she'll appreciate that, but
yeah, well, she's thin now.
No, I know she's thin. I'm just saying that still. Yeah, I mean, purple cow. But anyway,
Adele is gorgeous. I don't care.
She is. She's
Adele absolutely, is 500 pounds. She's still to me.
She's absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely.
I love Adele.
Definitely.
Adele to me is like, it's like Carole King. Which
I don't know your obsession. No, I know you're obsessed with Carole King. Now, I don't understand the obsession with just loving her as like want to marry her. I understand the obsession with her music. I get it. Carole King is a legend, but the obsession with her.
I love Carole King. I just love how I love how she looks, and I know she's older than me, so I don't, you know, and I know I'm married, so, but I love her vibe, her energy. She just seems like someone that would be amazing to, and I've seen so many interviews and so many performances with her, and every single time she to me is just more endearing and more engaging.
I guess you relate to her, I guess, in a way. okay.
She's a musical legend. We all
know. That's separate.
There's just another element of, Carol. And I've mentioned her here before as well.
Yeah, I know. It's,
which is a thing.
You know, it's kind of like my obsession with Rick Astley, but, not as bad as that.
Right, and George is never going to give him up. I tell you that.
Exactly. All right. No. All kidding aside, the one thing about music marketing, the whole it thing, the purple cow thing. I think part of that, as far as the music industry, when you go back, especially in the 80s, 90s, I think the music industry did a lot of that. Meaning that they kind of started a lot of that because they became obsessed with copying whoever became big.
Right.
Britney Spears becomes big doing what she's doing. All of a sudden, you had tons of copies of that, right? You had the Jessica Simpsons. You had all these other ones that all tried to be Britney, right? Then you had, you could even go back to Nirvana. You had Nirvana. All of a sudden, all the Seattle bands came and did the same thing.
Yeah.
Right. And then they, Boys to Men, and then there was the boy bands and all this. So there was this whole, I'm going to capitalize on what that is and try to make copies of that, and I think the music industry kind of did that on a bigger scale those years.
During those years, you're right. Because if there was a boy band, you knew there was at least five other ones.
Exactly.
I remember a time when every song was like NSYNC, Boys to Men,
Backstreet Boys, 98 Degrees.
Were New Kids on the Block? That was a thing, right?
Well, yeah, New Kids on. They're still around, by the way.
Yeah, I know. 98 Degrees, yeah.
98 Degrees, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they were all during one period of time, which was kind of a...
And they're still doing it to this day. Look at the K-pop stuff. Look at the,
That's right.
But now all those K-pop bands are popping up because, again, they're capitalizing on that thing. So there's always been that in music, at least, I would say from the 80s forward, they really tried to do that a lot because you didn't see that stuff in the 70s. 70s was a little different. But I agree. The purple cow thing, going back to that, again, like we've talked about on this show, like, even with podcasting, right? There's a million podcasts, but nobody podcasts like you, right?
Right.
Everybody has their own niche or their own, not niche, but their own way of doing it.
Yeah.
That is different than somebody else's. Yeah. And I always say, there's going to be a fan for everyone.
Correct.
I agree. I completely agree with that whole premise that you said.
Yeah. I think that also, like, if we were just to George and I, if we were to like look at our shows and say like, what's our purple cow, so to speak, I would have to say that it probably has to do with the fact that we're both Puerto Rican. That is very different to be doing the kind of shows that we do, to be doing the interviews that we do, to be doing the conversations that we have sometimes are a little bit not the norm of two Puerto Ricans that grew up in the Bronx.
True.
That's sort of like a purple cow in the sense that we're coming from a completely different direction. Now, unfortunately, our audience is not Puerto Ricans. I would like to have more Latinos kind of join into this conversation and to kind of expand, the conversation into that world as well. And maybe that's partly our fault because we just don't engage in that way and we don't necessarily share our show in those markets. I mean, I think we had our show up on the BronxNet TV for a while and we can still have it on there again. We've been invited back to put our shows on there and I think that might be a good idea. to do that and do more. We have done shows about growing up in the Bronx. We've done shows about, you know, we did two episodes back to back about being in the Bronx and stuff, you know, because that did really well. So I think that that's something that I think we should probably look at. And, you know, as building up of a purple cow kind of a thing.
Yeah, but there's but then aren't you forced? Well, not forced, but aren't you kind of becoming a little cliche because you're like, well, we're Puerto Rican, so we're going to gear more towards Puerto Ricans.
Yeah, but we're not having the conversations that we're not going in there talking about Puerto Rican things, because you and I are, you know, we're Puerto Rican, but that just happens to be how we were. That just happens to be what we are. It's not what we, how we live our lives.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, there's this generational shift, right? Which my generation and your generation are taking. We took the responsibility of changing the how our family tree is going.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, I didn't stay in the Bronx. You didn't stay in the Bronx, right? Now, nothing against the Bronx, but I love the Bronx. I grew up there, and I love, you know, I loved my upbringing. And, you know, there were rough moments, obviously. But overall, I loved the Bronx. I loved the music. I loved the food of being Puerto Rican. I love everything about my family. And I grew up very Puerto Rican. You know, I grew up with my grandparents. My grandparents didn't speak English. I didn't speak English till I went to school at the age of 7. Or 6 or 15. And it wasn't an easy transition during that period. So I remember coming home and understanding and then going to school and not understanding. Right. This was back in the days when nobody really cared. They just said, get in there. Métete ahí. Okay, que vale. Tiene que aprender a leer zángano. Okay, está bien. And everybody's like, all right, John, so we're going to what? You know, So I went through all that stuff, and I understand that, you know what I mean? But we're not, I didn't think that the things that I was shown, and I have to be very careful sometimes when I have these conversations about growing up in that environment, because I don't want to say anything to offend anyone. But here goes.
You're a purple cow.
Yeah. Purple cow is a thing. Google it.
It's
a popular thing. You know, I knew that what was going on around me was not where I wanted to be. It wasn't the thing that I wanted to invest my life and my time in, being staying in the Bronx, going to a community school or a school or something, and then getting a job. You know, I was an artist, and that's what I've always wanted to do. And that's what my mind always worked on, like listening to B.B. King and Stevie Ray Vaughan and Eric Clapton and Santana. And that was where my world was, you know, same thing with for you. You know, I mean, we were listening to things that no one around us was listening to. That's why we had no friends. It was just me and George.
That's true.
It was just me and George. And then I met Holland, who played in our band, and, you know, he liked all the stuff that we liked. So that we started a band that way. But before that, it was just not, there was nobody around to team up with. You know what I mean? It was just us. Because that environment just didn't really give us what we needed, you know. True. So I go back and I have the conversations about being Puerto Rican, but not in the same way that I think anyone else that goes back has. You know, I'm not talking about the man putting me down, bringing me down.
Right.
You know, I think that mm-hmm. sometimes is something that I may be a little too much. And I think I might trigger someone if I say something that somebody, you know, I was homeless, right? But I didn't blame my homelessness on the system. I blamed it on the people that were taking care of us. I was a teenager, you know, and they were not responsible in the situation, right? And I love my mom and my brother, my sisters. We were all very close till this day. And my mom passed in 2009, but, you know, we were very close as well, you know. But during those years, things were rough, you know, and things happened. So the whole music thing was I really saved. You know, I know the we're not talking about what the show is about, but this is what this show is about.
Welcome to our lives.
Welcome to the Artist Blueprint. I think this is something for us to look at, because you think about where you came from to where you are all the time. Right. And I do that a lot, you know, and I do the exercise that I think I talked about maybe on this show before, where if there was a snapshot of where I currently am today, of, you know, my life and my all my circumstances that I have going on today, and I have a snapshot and I bring it back to 1986 or 1985 when you know, I was a teenager, and I show it to that guy and I say, this is going to be your life in whatever 30 something years. What do you think? I would be happy with what I see. I'm playing music. I have a beautiful wife. I have beautiful kids. I have a nice place to live. Things that in 1986, I did not have.
True.
I have a nice car. My wife has a nice, you know what I mean? All these kind of things that it, back then, I just did not even think. So I use that method of, you know, I call it the snapshot, you know, and that to me helps me. And sometimes I'm driving and I'm seeing these beautiful mountains and I live in a really beautifully aesthetic location. So as I'm driving to just like to the supermarket, it's gorgeous. And I have that snapshot, yeah. You know, and I start thinking about that. So, you know, our show going there, like thinking of us as a purple cow, we would be the purple cow over there. We'd probably be not even liked that much because I think we'll either do one or two things. We'll trigger people, mm-hmm. right? Or we'll inspire them.
Inspire people.
I always go for the inspiration. I'm not right, saying right. this because I think anybody is wrong. I'm saying this because I think that Puerto Ricans can really are incredible. Incredible yes. musicians, incredible artists, incredible writers, filmmakers, everything. And, you know, Hollywood doesn't recognize that. We know that already. That's already been established. We don't get the recognition, you know. But there are certain individuals in the Latin community that have done incredibly well. And we need to kind of look at that and be, like, inspired by, you know, by the John Leguizamos and by the Jimmy Smiths and all those guys. Ruben Blades. You know, these guys that have made that transition from being that to being accepted in Hollywood and being and doing all those things. That's what I want to inspire.
I agree. The only yeah. sad part about that, well, that's not really sad. It's just kind of the way people look at it, is because there's always going to be this perception that because you are living that way, you are living more like non-Hispanic people.
Yeah, I'm living like a white person.
Basically. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
They're
yeah,
always going to, I mean, even growing up, like I had that whole stigma, right? Because again, I listened to rock and roll. I didn't speak a lot of Spanish. I had long hair, all that, just like you did and all this. It was like, oh, you're trying to be a white guy. Now you're trying to be a rock and roll guy. You're trying to be this, you know, you're ignoring right. your Hispanic roots and right. all that. And it's not like I did it consciously. That's just the way
where you were.
I was in my life. And that's why I felt good. I felt comfortable.
Right.
You know, I could have said, yeah, no, I'm going to listen to Spanish music and hang out in the street corner and play dominoes and do that for the rest of my life and do nothing. Okay. Right. There are people in the South Bronx that do that. Okay. That's yeah. not that. I mean, we lived there. We saw that. Right.
I saw that all the time.
It's okay. So I could have done that, but no, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to play music. I wanted to get into what I liked, and this is what I liked. So it's tough because you sometimes you get that. From yeah. those folks.
Yeah, and I think that's where the triggering comes into play, you know, where right. people don't like to hear things like that, you know. Right. I mean, and they're you know, we need to respect our culture, and of course I respect the culture. I mean, you know, I listen to Spanish music in my car all the time. My kids know Spanish music, you know what I mean? Like my daughter wants to listen to Spanish music. So mine too. I play Humberto Santa Rosa. I play Mark Anthony, you know, who's another one that's kind of transitioned to English and from New York and stuff like that, you know. So, you know, there's you have to kind of look at it like, what is the overall goal? You know, what is the goal? Well, the goal is to raise a family, hold on to your heritage, right? Pass it along and increase the family's wealth, increase the family's reach, you know, and increase their education. That's the goal. That's what we should be. That's what I focus on. I focus on trying to get my kids to do better than I'm doing.
Yes.
You know, my grandparents came to this country not speaking English, working in factories for their whole lives, you know, and it's like, would I disrespect that and go off and do something that everyone else, you know, that I saw, not everyone, but there was a few people that were doing the easy money thing, right, and doing things that I knew were illegal and all that stuff. Why would I disrespect them, you know, right, with all that they did and they gave to us? Because of them, we're all here.
Right.
My brother, my sisters, my nieces, my nephew, because of these two individuals, you know what I mean? My grandparents. And, you know, it's an incredible thing. And of course, you know, my brother, my sisters had a different father. And because of that side of the family from Ecuador, also them, you know what I mean? It's like, they all did that. They all struggled. They suffered. I mean, you talk about suffering, you know, it's a completely different world that George and I live in. You know, I mean, we are completely privileged in our living, because we not only did we respect what they did, but we also worked to try to do something better.
Right.
You know, we wanted to do better, you know. So we're privileged in the sense that our jobs are, I don't lift anything heavy. Right. You know what I mean? I don't lift anything heavy. My guitar and my amp, if I'm playing somewhere, you know, it's the heaviest thing I lift, and I'm still trying to get somebody to do that for me. So, you know, I sit in front of a computer. I get paid to think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get paid to think about stuff and to come up with solutions and to troubleshoot things. That's what I get paid for. That's privilege. You know, that's a different type of privilege. You know what I mean? So, I want my kids to do better. I want to be financial. You know, and give them, you know, generational wealth. So this way we can do something better. You know, I don't want to lose our heritage, but at the same time, I don't want to disrespect, you know, what I currently can do right now for the culture.
Agree.
You know, so, oh yeah. So we're talking about music marketing today, which is, as we're 32 minutes into the show.
Well, this actually goes into the mindset.
It does. Right? And I think a lot of times we talk about this, and we always sometimes we'll do like two or three episodes on something just to wrap our heads around it. But, you know, music marketing today, well, let's go back to what it was, right? You know, there was no email. There was no computers. So what was there? There was flyers. Mm-hmm. You go out, you get a flyer. You get little tiny brochure things. You put them to the club. You put them on the bar. You put them on the tables and have people grab one. You know, and hopefully they'll remember you, right? I still have a couple of those from bands that I followed back then. Carbon Leaf is a band that I took one of their little flyers from a club that we played.
Yeah.
That evening we played, and then we left, and there they are. You know, maybe 15 people were there, and they blew me away. And now they're like a successful, you know, touring band and stuff. But I still have that little card, which I've actually photographed and sent to Barry, who's the lead singer. And he's actually acknowledged me and mentioned, yo, that's awesome. I remember printing those out at Kinko's.
Ah, nice. Yeah, I remember.
that was pretty awesome. You know, that's what it was, you know, hanging up posters on outside of the club and around the telephone poles. Then sometimes if you were really brave, you know, you get phone lists. You know, we had a phone list, you know, and you have to call people up and you go, hey, just want to let you know we're playing at this place on this night. You know, get a pen and paper and write this down if you want to come down and check us out. Hey, what you doing? You know, and you're calling people in to just come to your shows.
And what would be the number one question that these club owners or promoters would tell us?
How many people can you bring?
There it is.
And George and I got into it during probably at the curve, you know, right when it was going to hell.
Yeah.
We're just approaching the mountaintop and then right before it starts crashing, but we were kind of it was good for a while. We were playing a lot of places and people were coming and we had an audience and it was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And then as we started going, people were asking, how many people can you bring? How many people can you bring? And we had no idea at the time because we were like, we would always give a wrong number, you know, be like, I don't know, 100. And then we get three people. It'd be like George's girlfriend and like, and I didn't even have a girlfriend. It'd be like George's girlfriend and like some friend, you know, a friend of mine, and somebody else from the band, you know, whatever it was. And then we started realizing now we did get eventually, like when we would do towards the end of everything, we would get 100.
Yeah, we'd get
100 people to two shows.
Yep.
But then things started happening with the club, and they started closing down.
Right.
CBGB's went away, Lions Den, Kenny's Castaway, and then all hell broke loose. And then things got so expensive for them that they had to ask the question. You know, I don't even blame these poor guys. They're paying their rent. They know that if they sell us $500 worth of tickets that we're going to go out and sell on our own, which is what we kind of try to do, which is a bust.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bust. Try to go out and sell $500 worth of tickets to just try to recoup your money. That doesn't mean that you're going to make anything.
Right.
You know, so we give the club $500 to play on a night. The place could be empty and we lose $500. Right. Do the club care? No, they just made $500.
Exactly.
That covers their evening. If nobody shows up, that covers their evening, you know. So that's where it became. That's what it was, you know. Move forward to 2004. I remember going to a music conference in Washington, D.C. With a friend of mine. And being at a convention. It was a music convention. It was called the Future of Music Summit. And it was 2004. And I went there. You know, I paid, I don't know, $100 to go to this thing. And it was a 3-day thing. And it was incredible. Like, I learned so much from that. You know, a guy stood up and he had like a little box or a phone. He said, you know, in the next couple of years, you're going to be able to have all the songs you can think of in a little box about this big. You know, he said that on stage in 2004. And I was like, what? That's amazing. You know, of course, the iPod and then the iPhone. And now pretty much any song that you could think of, you can punch it up on your phone and you can listen to it. Right.
Yep.
And so that changed everything. When I came back, I heard about a little site, a website called MySpace. And I was blown away by the fact that there's that band called Delilah.
Oh yes, yeah, I know.
Something white, something like I
know which band that you're talking about.
Yeah, I forgot their name. Sorry, if anybody remembers the name of that band, I apologize. But they actually got on MySpace and they started sharing stuff. I wish I could remember their name.
Tom Jones. Oh no, that wasn't Delilah.
That's a great song too, though.
Yeah.
Why, my Delilah? Why, Delilah?
Was the song actually called Delilah?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I keep saying.
Hey there, Delilah.
Yeah. But anyway, they used MySpace, and they were shocked at how many people showed up to a gig that they were just playing. They just played like a gig where there was nobody.
Plain white tees.
Yes, plain white tees. So, and then they showed up at this one place because they had done MySpace thing, and they posted it up there, and all these people came to the show, and because they loved that song. They put the song out there, you know, and it became this thing. And that blew me away, and I thought to myself, wow, this is an incredible opportunity. And so I went back home, and I went to the band that we were in, and I brought it to the attention of everyone, and I said, okay, guys, this is what we need to do. We need to go on every night and just add people. This was the Wild Wild West. Just add people to whatever you had. We had a band site, not even a site. We had a site that we had a band site, and we were just adding people to it. Just adding people. You go to whatever location, and you just click their name and say, add. So I was encouraging everyone, just keep adding. Nobody really did it. But anyway, I did. And I remember Holland and I did a show once. We just did a show by ourselves, two acoustic shows. And I remember there was about three girls that were there, and they came to the show based on the MySpace ad. And I remember Holland looking at me like, oh, okay, that really works. You know, I was like, yeah, we need to just keep doing it. You know, they never did. But my point on that is that I realize there's a shift. Right. You know, I could, from the comfort of my home, impact someone clear across the country. Now, how simple is this today, right? Today, I have friends in Russia. I have friends in Israel.
Putin
that I talked to. You know what I mean? All over the world, Puerto Rico, across the country. George and I are doing this right now. He's you know, hundreds of miles away from me right now. You know what I mean? And yet here we are. So I knew that there was a shift in the marketing, you know, and that's where we are today with different, you know, forms of marketing music or a band or anything.
You folks out there don't know how, don't know what we had to go through back then. But you know, you're right. But I think one of the, it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah. Right?
Because you, like you said in the beginning, there's so many ways to market, but it's almost like there's too many ways to market, right?
Right.
Because then the mentality becomes, there's two different things. There's a mentality that says, okay, well, you have to be everywhere. You have to be on every platform. You have to do, you know, you've got to.
And there's truth to that.
On constant. I understand that. But with social media specifically, when you look at the TikToks and stuff, there's also, in my opinion, a lottery mentality. Because a lot of it is, I want to be viral, right? There's this whole viral component. Well, John Smith just went viral because he jumped off of a building with a skateboard and now he's got a million followers, okay? And so we have to do that now. We have to, you know, and I think that it plays into this mentality of, instead of you're looking for, well, a lot of bands, podcasters or whatever, are starting to focus a little bit more on what is engageable and less on what is actually good as far as content, yeah, whether it's music or whatever it is.
Yeah. And that's a good point that you bring that up, because it also, what it does is it changes how someone creates.
Yes, exactly. You know, that's
it,
my
changes
point,
right? the creative right. process, because now you're not really creating. Now you're just kind of thinking about what they're doing and how I can actually do that.
Right.
And how I can take what I do and do that thing that person already did, as opposed to trying to think creatively.
Correct.
With what, and this is where, again, and I'll say Purple Cow again, but this is where that kind of goes away. Yes. For a lot of people, because that uniqueness that you had that would elevate you, if you're only focusing on what someone else did successfully and went viral and you're trying to go viral, then you're gonna lose the game. You know,
but then but then the question becomes, right? Let's go back in time again to the old days of music, right? When they would take a band or an artist, right? Let's say that artist was a rock and roll heavy artist or whatever, where their songs were kind of obscure. You didn't really know them too much. But they pluck out this one tune that is completely different than all the other things, right? This is where the one hit wonders were born, right? Because if you listen to all the one hit wonders of the 80s, that one tune that was on all over the place, that was their biggest hit, sounds nothing like all their other songs.
Correct.
Because their whole thing was, we need to get you as marketable as possible so you can land it and then get that viral, you know, lottery type thing.
Sure.
Right. And to me, we talked about this as a band way back in those years, you know, do we sacrifice ourselves and try to do something like that versus actually being true to what we are? And like you said, artists and musicians and people are losing that to try to get that one niche where, boom, they explode.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, going viral right now does not mean that you're going to be a successful anything.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
You know, unfortunately, it did. At one point, you can go viral. I mean, you know, you can look at an app. And the thing about being on apps is that, you know, if there's 10 apps, you know, 10 social media platforms, I should say, and you're on all 10 of them, well, you know that not all 10 are going to be successful. But if you're on all 10, at least the ones that stay alive, you'll still be on. You won't have to like start catching up to try to be like, oh man, I got to get on that app now because now everybody else is on it and this one went away. An example is Vine. Who remembers Vine? So Vine had 6 million users.
Right.
There were stars on there getting millions of views, showing up at malls for events where thousands of girls, mostly young, little, good-looking boys and girls, would show up and thousands of fans would show up because of the Vine. Vine was like a 6-second clip thing, right? So, and then that just completely smashed. It crushed. I mean, it went away overnight. These people that did not go on any of the platform were gone. You didn't hear from them anymore. And they went on to other platforms where they got a little bit of flow, but nothing compared to what they had. So if you're thinking about the viral thing, you know, going viral, it's the wrong viewpoint. It's, you know, what you should be doing. And this is a very cliche thing to say, but, you know, the authenticity that you can bring to your music or to your art is what's going to be that purple cow.
Yes.
You know, it's the Michael Jacksons, it's the Prince, it's the Sting, it's the comedic, you know, you can go back, Robin Williams, Jim Carrey, you know, they all have this uniquely different thing that they did that stood out from what everyone else was doing.
Right.
And they got a lot of hate.
Yep.
You know, they got a lot of hate. And if you're getting a lot of hate, you're on the right track.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
It means that you're impinging somehow, you know, you're disrupting an area.
Right.
Right. And the whole thing you were trying to do is we are trying to disrupt an area. This is why George and I talk about these things being Puerto Rican. It is a disruption. You know what I mean? We're two Puerto Ricans from the Bronx who didn't buy into a lot of the things that we saw growing up. Now, that's not saying across the boards is like that, you know, but there is this weird mentality of that kind of upbringing where it's just kind of like, yo, yo, yo. And we just didn't really buy into that for whatever reason, right? I think the music had a lot to do with it.
Yes.
But that's the only way that really you can really be successful is by creating that thing. You know, I want to go over. I do have actually.
Okay, go for it.
So what do we do? You know, we're trying to figure out how to promote the band. I'm in a band now, in case anybody is interested. The band is called Mockingbird Canyon Road, and we are having a blast. We are having a great time. I don't think I have the here it is. This is our site. If anybody's interested, it's scrolling on the bottom while I talk about this. And that band, you know, veteran musicians, we've all been around long time. We played a lot, done a lot of stuff, and we're just having a lot of fun. But we're also understanding that the mentality that we had back in the days is a completely different vibe of what we had, you know, of what we have today. We can't live in that world anymore. That world is gone. We have to move our viewpoints to today and keep the passion of trying to create a purple cow or trying to be different. The music, whatever it is we're trying to do, which is, it is, in my opinion, the music is different. Things are actually very, very unique in this group, which is very, I'm happy to say that. But we can't really go into what was back then and bring that forward. We have to use the tools that are out today. So I have 5 tools here that I think are really where the bread and butter are in today's marketing. And if someone, and this is what I use also for JHS Talent, where to help the artists kind of with their, you know, with their, not just their platforms, but creating a brand, creating an actual brand that they can, you know, monetize, you know, because it's something that's uniquely different, right? Mm-hmm. And I have some artists now, you know, that I'm working with that are definitely purple cows, you know, but in order to really get that, we have to illustrate that in a way that doesn't look like we're trying. It has to be authentic, and they are authentic. So I want to make sure that gets put out, you know, in an authentic way and not so cliche. Right. So the first thing, on the list, and I have 5, the first thing is, we did one of these before. It's a virtual reality concert experience. Now, this is something that is getting more and more traction. It became popular. I think people were looking more into it during the pandemic because people were home and people were trying to figure out, well, how can they still spread the music? And some people figured it out more than others. Those that have money could work it out more because they have the tools and they have the bandwidth, basically. And now that we're at a much better place, during that whole time because of technology and certain platforms that came through with the technology to catch up to what was needed. Virtual reality concerts are actually a big thing. There's a couple of companies right now that you go to them and they set you up with lights, cameras. I mean, it's a big deal with right. even the platforms where people will pay to actually come see your live shows, you know, and this is something that is going to be part of the future. It's not the greatest because there's no audience there, but I think it's also going to be incorporating audiences in the future.
Right.
You know, so just want to read this real quickly. In 2020, artists increasingly, let me see if there's anything that I missed. So VR, which is another thing, VR is another element of this virtual reality, because you can put on these headsets, which I've put on before, and they're creepy if anybody has ever done a VR thing. But you are literally immersed into this world, and you can look here and you can see your friend sitting there, your actual friend, and you can see your friend sitting there. You can look all around the stadium and see all your friends.
You can see the purple cows.
You see all the purple cows. And you can just be right there, you know. And so there's a certain incredibleness to that. There's also a certain lacking of something, because when you're applauding, you can hear the applause of everyone else. But in reality, you're in your house by yourself, right? So, you know, you're like this. That was great, right? Yeah, and it looks like you're in an insane asylum if anybody's looking from the outside. But it looks amazing. The technology is really incredible now, so you can really get that experience. So virtual reality concerts, you have to put the time in. We've done, you know, you can do them on stream, live stream on the phones. You can do that now just to start out. We've done that, and it's worked out pretty decently, but not really at the level that it should be, right? The next thing is, so this is a little bit also brand new. These are all brand new things, by the way. This is all very, very cutting edge stuff, I guess you would say, right?
Okay.
AI generated music recommendations. So being on a list, you know, being on a Spotify playlist, for instance, right? Like there's these big playlists and they have millions and millions of followers. If you can get on these playlists, that's a huge thing, because you know that if there's a million followers, your song's going to come up and a million people will hear your song, and that can elevate you and get you the followers and get you the you know, just at least get you an audience for when you do a virtual reality, you right. know, concert, you know, instantaneously, you know, they're listening to you on Spotify. They're going to come watch your show. Right. That's one of the advantages of it. Now, AI, everybody, you know, it's a big thing right now. Everybody's talking about it. AI started, I'm doing a lot of stuff in AI, studying a lot of it. You know, AI started like in the 50s, just so everybody knows, you know, the idea of AI in the 50s. In the 60s, there was an actual software that you can write things to and it actually would reply back, you know. Let me get this out of the way here. And it'll actually reply back. You know, that was in the 60s, you know. The main reason why we have now, you know, ChatGPT is because we caught up to the technology. You know, they've had that already. Like tech people, Silicon Valley people that are in IBM, and that's nothing to them. They've already seen that. But we, as you know, the consumers now can actually utilize AI in our day-to-day life, and productivity can be increased tremendously if you use it properly in your business. In, you know, even as an artist, you don't want to have it make your art. I don't like that kind of stuff of it. And that probably, unfortunately, that's yes, going to be part
that
of
is,
it.
That is going to happen.
That's going to come, and there's no stopping it. You can't just be like, don't do it. It's just not going to happen. Somebody mm-hmm. is going to do it. And it, you know, but the only benefit to take to that, I've actually tested things out on it, on ChatGPT, just to kind of see, you know, mm-hmm. write me a love song, I want to see. And the garbage that comes out of it is so bad, because it doesn't have a spirit. It right. doesn't have, it doesn't come from, I mean, again, I'm a spiritual person, George is a spiritual person, but it doesn't come from a place of love, of passion, of, you know, experience, you know, the pain. the creativity of the pain, how we interpret that. It doesn't have that. It's only going to spit out what's put into it. That's why AI is not going to attack. It's never going to be sentient because it doesn't have the ability to do that. It doesn't know what it's saying. So if you ask Siri, Siri, get me directions to the closest supermarket, it doesn't know. All it knows is that Siri, supermarket, closest to it. It picks out those words and that sentence, and then it goes through the system. And because now we have the speed to actually generate that, it can go very fast and it can actually spit out the closest one is right here, 2 miles away. You know, and we think like, whoa, AI is incredible. No, it's just being able to recognize our voice, which is a whole other technology that's now perfected, or at least very close to perfected. And then recognizing the words. Now it's also recognizing the different forms of how something is said. So like, get me to a supermarket. It's different from like, hey, can you show me where's the nearest supermarket?
Right.
Hey, is there a supermarket nearby? Hey, Siri, supermarket. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All those things have to fall under the heading of something that it will recognize what we're looking for, right? Right. That's a robot.
Yes.
That's a robot. That's not intelligent. You know, it's artificial, right? It's artificial. It means that it's not real. It's fake. It's created, right? And intelligence is only because it has the intelligence that was put into it by actual humans, thinking humans, right? So when we add our art and we start thinking like, how can this help us artistically? Well, good art's not, it's not going to help good art artistically. Yeah, right now we're going through a phase where you'll see all these apps change your face to like a cowboy, or you can be in space suddenly, or it'll change your facial features and make you look younger or older or whatever. It's just having fun right now. It's just people with a little bit of money, they create an app, they put it out there, people download it, they share it on social media. Ha ha, look at this. This is great. That's going to go away when people start actually using it for, it's sort of like what happened with Excel. Mm-hmm. If you think about Excel, when Excel came in, people were like, oh, it's replacing accountants. It's going to replace the accountant. The accountant did all that work.
Right.
You know, it's going to replace calculators. It's going to replace the accounting machines and all that stuff. And it really did. And it created way more other jobs in that field with accountants, you know, right. Accounting people that now use. Now, can you imagine a world without Excel? Excel is just part of something that we use now. And that's where AI is going to be eventually. So we shouldn't be afraid of AI. We should actually embrace it and figure out how we can utilize it. Like, maybe, you know, if you find a way to actually market your band in a location using AI technology some way, you know, using it to gather audiences that are like-minded. Well, what do you think Pandora is? Pandora, you listen, you put in the kind of artist that you like, and it just takes all the different artists that are sort of similar, and they even the chord structures of certain songs, the keys of certain songs. It takes it all and it combines it into things that it thinks that you like. Is that good? No, in my opinion, it's not good because I like variety. So I don't use Pandora because of that. I want to hear a song that I go, oh, I've never heard of this before. This is kind of interesting. You know, not something that goes, oh, this sounds just like the kind of music I like. No, I don't want that.
That's what algorithms are.
That's algorithms. That's all it is. That's all it is. It just takes all the algorithms and it just combines them together into giving you something that you think it likes.
Right.
Google, Amazon, Facebook, all these companies have been using AI for years. You know, Amazon can tell you, you know, or any of these apps, if you're interested in buying a pair of shoes, it's going to show you shoes.
Right.
If you mention it to your friend, I'm thinking of buying a pair of brown shoes. Are you going to see a pair of brown shoes in a few minutes somewhere? Yeah, that's AI. It hears it and it says, now you can go in and, you know, you can cut that if you want to. They're looking at it like it's providing a service, right? Well, I don't know. Is it providing a service?
Well, it depends how you look at it, because there are people that say, why would it's almost like I feel like I'm being spied on, right?
It's true. And you are.
And you are, right. You are. And some people don't want to participate in that.
Into the wrong hands.
Well, it will.
It will.
Just like anything, you put something like that that's powerful, it's always going to go into the wrong hands. It's always going to be used for some crazy shit.
Correct.
And,
you know, and that's where right now, as we know, we had the debacle with Google, right? And their AI debacle.
Yeah.
That's the key word of the day. And I'm just making up that word, but I want to use it. It's a combination
It is a word people use.
It is a word. Yeah. But it's not a word. I use it a little bit different in a different, debacle. Anyway. Google just had a debacle, right? Where they just released their AI thing and people were typing things in and it was just giving them, woke information. Right. And why? Because it's whoever enters the information is what happened. It's what it's going to do. You know, so there's no, so AI is not going to be perfect. You have to figure out how you can utilize it to help you in certain things. And what I do is I've used it to start me off on something, on a paragraph, like write me a one paragraph on this subject. And then it comes in and I look at it and I'm like, oh, okay, I see where it's going with it. I was like, no, I don't like, okay, but I see you. Okay, this makes sense right here. And then there's like an hour of editing, you know, that it goes into it. But before it would have taken me 5 hours to come up with
something. But my counter to that would be there have already been people that have been busted for AI articles that were published. Which takes away from the creative process, right? Because now these people are not creating. They're just
that's being part of the wild, wild west.
Yes.
People are gonna get shot. You know, people are gonna get shot and people are gonna go down and people are gonna lose. It's just the way it works. And people are also going to take shortcuts.
True.
AI is an opportunity for people to take a shortcut. How many songs are going to be written through AI now?
Yes.
Garbage piece of crap. Because
I'm sure there are already.
There are already. And they sound terrible. You know, they sound really bad lyrically and everything. But then again, I'll hear some pop song that somebody wrote. Seven writers wrote one song for one particular artist that I won't mention. But you read these seven people wrote this crap.
Right.
Well, what's the difference between if you would have put that today and said AI wrote this, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense because it's garbage. But no, seven people wrote that. So seven people couldn't write, you know, a good song. Also, we still have to have the creative process. An individual has to come up and create something positive.
Correct. Yeah. But that's kind of my point is because in 1970s and let's say, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, where you had to sit down and write and create and come up with something, right? Whereas now there's going to be a portion of these people that don't do that. There's going to be a portion that do that. Yeah. And to me, it's actually to the detriment of the industry.
Okay? It is, but the industry is no longer there.
I understand that.
The industry is not there is no music.
But then that's the whole point, because then people like me, and you can call me the old man, but people like me, this is why I don't look at this industry the same. This is why I don't listen to a lot of the stuff now, because to me it's half of it sucks. Okay. And, you know, who knows how much of it was written that way. And a lot of it was written with this mentality of I'm just going to throw it out there and, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, all of that creativity that was blossoming and booming in the 70s and 80s is not there.
It's
not there.
But the industry was torn apart during Napster. During Napster and LimeWire and all that, and then iTunes and now Spotify, the music industry has been ripped apart. It's now given the artist, because of the platforms and because of things like, and by AI, I don't necessarily mean the songwriting process. I don't mean the creating of the art. What I mean is, like, if you can generate fans of your product in a certain scope, and you find a software or you find an AI generator that can go out and find people that would like your music and bring them to you, you know, that's a powerful tool. If you can figure out how to tap into that, right? There are methods to do that, and that's, you have to go more deeper into that. And if anybody's interested, you can message me also. There are ways that you can do that, and that I'm working on doing something like that, not just for music, but for other things as well, you know, to just find the interest, because now what the technology has done is that it leveled the field in a way that the people that had the most money, right, they're going to try to cheat the most because they know now that the guy down here could get the same thing. A TikTok guy, whether you like it or not, doesn't matter whether, that's the thing. I sometimes think about, like, you know, Gary Vee and Grant Cardone, those guys. Nobody cares what you think, right? Nobody cares what George and Marai think about AI and how we, you know, the old guys don't like. Nobody gives a crap because at the end of the day, they're going to do it anyway, you know? And when you think of the big guys, the big five record companies that went to two, which is now a debacle, they all went from controlling everything,
right,
to now you have a TikTok guy who suddenly gets 10 million followers because he sang a song in his kitchen.
Right.
And he's a great voice.
Right.
You know, nothing against these guys that have a tremendous talent, because I've seen some talent on there that I'm like, wow, no one would have seen this, you know, this kid, because he doesn't have the right look, you know, or she doesn't have the right look.
Right.
But she can sing her ass off, and she's just found, she's got 10 million followers living in a small town in Ohio where no one would have found her before. And now she's able to make a living for herself. The record companies now are now throwing all their money into what they currently do have. And so what do you see? You see, I'm not going to name all the artists, but you see the same artists that are big signed artists having all the money put behind them on all the magazines, on all the television shows, on all the social media platform, because they're throwing it because this is all they have. This is all they have because to a certain degree, the industry, the music industry, as well as the film industry, which we're not talking about today, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah,
has been leveled.
Yes,
you know, I can make a film on my phone and show it to 1,000 people.
Right,
I couldn't do that 15 years ago.
Sure, right.
You know, I shot a film and showed it to thousands of people, right, you know, the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I could not have done that in the old studio industry because technology gave me the ability to do that. Now, does that mean that there's going to be a lot of crap out there? Yes, I've been to festivals and I sit there and I go, wow. I feel almost like insulted that my film got picked and was shown before this or after this or whatever. You know, and not to say anything, but they got their film in. That's fine. You know what I mean? But my point on that is that there's a certain level of control that we can have. The problem is that guys our age, you know, are all, some of them are jaded, you know, just like you express right now, jaded with the industry, jaded with what the music is. It's not the music industry. That's not the music industry. Those are desperate, large companies with some money, corporate controlled money, throwing everything they have on the few artists that they have and then dressing them up in crazy stuff. And, you know, we could name all the names of these artists. You all probably know who they are. They all try to get there. They you know, they're just doing, not to say that they're not talented, but when you go to TikTok and you see, I can literally show you 10 singers, female singers, gorgeous, with amazing voices, a higher range, more powerful range than any of the. I just saw a Filipino lady. She, if you saw her, you would not even think she could sing. She was a short Filipino lady who was in a mall, and they gave her a mic, and she had, like, she was testing out one of those karaoke machines, and she sang a Whitney Houston song as good as anyone, as good as any high-paid million-dollar artist. This is powerful because that person, that Filipino lady now has a future if she's managed correctly and somebody can actually help her out, because there's also that. There's also this TikTok artist who they get all these views, but then their lives are a mess, or they don't know how to balance it, or somebody takes advantage of them, whatever it is. That's another thing. Evil people are going to get into everything that we do, everything that's creative, everything that's, they're going to get in. It's our job as, you know, higher toned people that are elevated in their think, to be able to look through the BS and to be able to find those individuals and push them aside and bring in the joy.
Okay. Yeah. And I understand what you're saying, and I completely, and we're going way over, but, and I, I, I mean, to a certain extent, yes, you're absolutely correct. And the same thing with the music, the movie industry and all that, they're going through the same thing. But then this forces me, okay, or forces the guys like me to have to go find these people. I have to go on TikTok. I have to go on Instagram because I have to find them. I don't want to do that. What if I don't want to do that?
Yeah, then you won't get
exactly. To where, then I don't give a shit about them. You know what I'm saying? So that forces me to go back to say, okay, well then I'm going to listen to the people that I want to listen to that I know that are great musicians that I grew up listening to because that's what I'm happy listening to. That doesn't mean that there are not amazing people doing it. I completely admit that. But I don't care.
Right. And I don't care. And that's your prerogative. That's the point. It all matters on where a person wants to reach.
Right.
If you were complaining about it, but you're trying to get a record deal and you're trying to expand your music or you're trying to be seen more, but you don't care about those things, well, then we know where you're going. Right. And that's a different story. If somebody doesn't care at all, then that's fine too. That's their prerogative. They shouldn't, they shouldn't. And, to a certain degree, I don't care about certain things. You know what I mean? But I dive in because I'm curious and I also love the artists that I found. You know, I found some incredible artists through social media that I am currently working on with JHS Talent. You know what I mean? Like I would not have found them had I not been on there looking and being like, wow, this is
But that's also your business though.
It is, right. It is. But that's what I'm saying. I made it my business. I didn't inherit it from from anything. It was something that I've always been passionate about. Right. So, this is a whole, so my point on that is that, it's the same kind of thing. Those that don't care is totally fine.
Right.
It's totally fine. The question is those that do care and those that are trying but are don't want to dive into all this minutia of technology, well, then you're making your own bed. You're going to have to lie in it. You know what I mean? That's just the fact of the matter is. Like there is no – the shortcuts of social media are very, very few. You're either on the platforms creating original content or you're not. You're not.
Right.
Or you're cheating and buying followers, which a lot of people buy followers, and then it crashes their algorithms. It crashes their reach.
Well, it's actually but you're really what you're doing if you are on social media and you are, like you said, you're doing the content and stuff, number one, you're chasing the algorithm. Okay. Because the algorithm changes every other day. That's number one.
Always.
Okay. Right. So you're chasing that algorithm or you're not doing it at all. Okay.
Right.
And then there's, okay, fine. Then you have to find another way to do it because you're not going to sit there and chase the algorithm and all day long.
There are people that don't do it.
Right.
They are out there right now. And
absolutely.
I see them,
absolutely.
I see them at some point they do get on. I can name so many people that I've had conversations with that were not into this thing that are now slowly coming in and putting out more content. And I see them doing it. Real estate people, especially.
Right.
Real estate people were not, it's never going to be like that. It's always going to be like that. It's never going to be that. Now I see them out there go, hi, I'm going to show you this 2-bedroom. I knew you would come back eventually because you're getting your ass kicked. You're getting your ass kicked by the 22-year-old kid selling real estate for the first time, who knows everything about social media. So he's beat the kid, the guy who's like in his 40s, or in his 50s, who's been doing real estate for 30 years, who can't get anything going because this damn ass kid is doing, you know what I mean? Well, that's the frustrating part. You either, you know what they say, right? What was the expression? What's the expression when you go with the flow, but you don't want to or something, whatever. And there's some expression I can't think of right now, but you either go with it or you fall behind, or you can be such an innovator that you can find something completely different and a different method of doing it.
True.
Who knows? There might be other ways, social media is not going to be the thing. I guarantee you that a lot of the platforms that we talk about are going to go, but I will say one thing, that when you make the connection with someone, that connection will stay, whether that platform or another platform. I know this from MySpace. I have people in MySpace that I'm still friends with that still follow the content because they came over, you know, they followed me on Facebook and then Instagram and then whatever other platforms, right? So this is a conversation that I think we'll probably have to take up again next week and continue on, because I have a couple of more things here that we're at an hour 15. I think that's our record. The next three things, I'll just give them to you. And then maybe George, if George and I talk about it, maybe next week we can cover these again, because this is a really important conversation, not only for music, but just for careers in general. Right. In the next 10 years, a lot of careers are going away because AI will replace them in certain things. Just like the Industrial Revolution came in. And when the car came in, you know, you can go back and read Henry Ford's, experience. And when the car came in, all those people that were selling horses and horse and wagons, the people that were making the wheels, the people that were doing the springs for the wagon, the people that were doing the leather, the things they, whatever, the whips, all that stuff. That went away within about 10 years to 15 years. And 20 years from the car, in 20 years, that was gone.
Well, look at the CDs. Look at CDs, DVDs, VHS, CDs, that whole thing, right?
Yeah, gone. So, and those that were just, I'm always going to sell horses. I'm always going to sell horses. Well, they ended up having to eventually figure out something else.
Right.
You know, because they didn't want to innovate. If you don't innovate, that it really makes it really difficult for you to move forward with the times. I, as an artist, you always want to say like, well, gosh, is it ever going to get better than B.B. King? No. Right? It won't. B.B. King was a moment in time. It was incredible time for music. If anybody wants to hear B.B. King's best thing, you hear B.B. King live at the Regal. It's the best album, blues album ever made.
Right.
It's incredible, right? Now I go out and Stevie Ray Vaughan. I love Stevie Ray Vaughan, right? He had no social media, right? Eric Clapton, he had no social media. Well, he does now, but he had no social media, right? And then you look at John Mayer. He came in with no social media. Now he does a lot of social media. John Mayer is all over the place on social media. He does lives from his hotel room. He talks to people. He engages with people. He answers questions. He's all about it. He's in that realm of he's 40, 44, 45 years old. So he's in that realm where it came from nothing to now it's all in. He's all in. So you make the decisions based on what you're really feeling and what you really want. Mm-hmm. If you really want something, if you really want to engage more with people and sell more music, and then you have to figure out some of the things that you might not like. You just might not like those things, and it's difficult to make that decision. But the next thing I was going to talk about was NFTs. I mean, gosh, people are like, don't even know what NFTs stand for, which is non-fungible tokens. And those are basically like a currency, So music, and I'll talk about this, I think we'll talk about this later. This is going to be, that'll be a whole other world. But then there's social media collaborating. That's another thing that's actually becoming more popular now, is collaborating. Songwriting is always going to be a thing. It's always
as it should be.
It's always going to be a thing. Right here in Nashville, there's songwriting groups. I mean, there's all these clubs that get together and they sit around circles and they write. And they're happening all across the country. Very, very, very important stuff that's going on in music in Nashville and across the world. It's still happening, but there is going to be a huge shift. These mucus.
I think that's going to be a huge shift in mucus.
There's going to be a huge shift in mucus. And I'm telling you, they're going to be running. They're going to be running all over the place. There's going to be a huge shift happening, which is already kind of happening, but in the next couple of years, it's going to be even bigger. And this is why my encouragement is to any artist, just read a little bit about it. Find out how you can utilize some of this, whether it's the virtual reality concert, whether it's AI, NFTs, whatever it is, see what you actually can connect with. But never lose your artistic integrity. Mm-hmm. See, that's the key thing.
Yes.
You know, don't think that it's a shortcut.
Right.
But that's think that it's a thing. It's the newspaper. The printing press came in and shift and changed the whole world. News wasn't getting out. After the printing press, now news can get out and you have people delivering newspapers across the thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's sort of like saying, well, I don't want to put my ads in newspapers that 1,000 people are going to read it tomorrow. I want to still do it the way I've always done it, word of mouth. Well, who's going to starve? The guy who's word of mouth or the guy who's putting an ad every week on a newspaper that's expanding and getting 1,000 views? Mm-hmm. That guy is going to make the money. I'm sorry to the guy who had word of mouth. He probably, 90% sure, had the better product. Mm-hmm. You know, he had the better product. Unfortunately, he did not have the right marketing tools. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about marketing music. We're not talking about making music. We're not talking about losing your integrity. We're talking about marketing what you've created. And that's where we are today. So anyway, if you're still here.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. And honestly, George and I love you because we appreciate you so much that you're here hearing this information that we have. And we are going to do another show on this and we'll expand on this. We'll actually touch a little bit upon music and film because I think those are both things that are going to be affected in the next few. I mean, look, just Sora. Have you heard about the Sora, right? S-O-R-A that came out. So it's a software just came out, right? Mm-hmm. And with a sentence, you can write a video. So this is here's the video, George. Man with a guitar playing on a stage with thousands of people singing this song by Bob Dylan. Enter. Here's a video. And it shows the video of a guy playing. Okay, the guy should have glasses, a hat like this, and be short and have weird hair hanging off his chin. Okay, enter. Another thing. This is out already. Now, granted, it hasn't hit the mainstream yet. It just kind of came out about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or something. And it's caused it's a disruption to the industry, 100%. You know, because what's it going to take now? Write me a love story about a man who meets a woman. Blah, 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 blah. Hit enter. Here's my new movie, everyone. You know, here's my new movie. What's it going to stop? It's not going to stop that. It's not going to stop that. So rather than fight it, find ways that you can actually use it to increase, to share what you've created naturally without using that garbage. But get ahead of the curve. Rather than wait for all these clowns to come in with garbage content. It reminds me a little bit. I know we're going over here, but we're a lost cause. It reminds me of the 80s. Remember the 80s, the television shows of the 80s? Mm-hmm. They all kind of, for some reason, found this one format with the three camera. It wasn't really particularly funny. It was sort of like just delivery well. I mean, there was Family Ties, which I loved. That mm-hmm. was really well written.
Right.
But that was a writer that was the guy was James. Oh, God. Anyway, he's like a legendary writer, right? Burroughs, I think, or something.
And Cheers.
What was that?
The guy that did Cheers.
Yes, that guy.
James Burroughs,
so, yeah. James Burroughs. So, you know, they that's a different story, right? Those guys were brilliant that they did all those shows. But there were a lot of shows that just kind of started coming out. Why? Because it was easy and they kind of took the model. They took a model, they took a family, they put them in front of an audience, they gave them lines to say, and then that went along.
Until Which is the same thing I was talking about music in the 70s, and I mean the Correct. 80s and 90s.
Correct. Right? And then there came reality TV.
Right.
Remember? Reality TV came out.
And well, then there was a whole bunch of them.
And then a whole bunch of these things came out. Why? Easy production. Very easy right. to do. No right. writers. It was, you know. And then that became a thing until they crashed because we realized... But is it still around now? Yeah, the Kardashians.
Yes.
The Kardashians, still huge, millions of followers watching nonsense. Nonsense. And still out there making money. So rather than hating them, try to figure out a way that you can actually get in the game. get in the game, put on the uniform, figure it out, you know, instead of just being on the sidelines. So that's the only encouragement that I do. And if you finally decide, you know what, I'd rather not play, then that's okay too. Mm-hmm. You know, and you won't be playing, you know, and that's just fine. So, all right. Wow. Well, we've talked about that. We could probably do a 2-hour show. We've actually have. So we're almost at an hour and a half now, you know. So, but anyway, folks, thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate you very much. We will see you all next week. We're going to try to maybe tap into this again. I'll talk to George and we'll put out the promo on that in the next couple of days for next week's show. And then we do have some guests coming on at the end of March. And that should be a lot of fun. And we also have some stuff, cool stuff coming up in April as well. So, all right, folks, thank you very much. Take care of yourselves. We'll see you all next week. And as always, peace.